Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and today is December the 19th, 2019. We're coming up on the end of a year, and it's been a busy news cycle. And we have to talk about it because we need to understand some very basic truths here. We need to understand what exactly is going on and what is being attempted. Because I know some of you are apolitical, conscientious observers, if you will, and I'm okay with that. But there are some who claim to be conscientious observers who've been pontificating and demagoguing for the last 3 years about how violent individual the Orange Man is and are now celebrating the fact that the House has passed articles of impeachment. Pardon me for saying, you're a hypocrite. Okay, it's not conscientiously observing anything. It's you having such a hatred and such a loathing for a man that you're willing to descend to the depths of the old USSR where you have to prove your innocence. I am sorry, Mr. Trump. Please prove that you are innocent of the crimes that you are accused of. That's not the way it works in America. You don't prove your innocence. They have to prove your guilt. And you know what? They fell short by far. There is absolutely nothing that came out over the last, 3 years, because apparently Nancy Pelosi said, we've been working on impeachment for 2.5-3 years now. She was quoted as saying that. The moment, the instant Donald Trump got elected president, this was a foregone conclusion. My only question was whether or not there were enough Democrat Congress people that were willing to jump over the cliff along with Adam Schiff and Al Green and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi. Nancy knows what's going on. She knows this will eviscerate the Democrat Party come 2020. But she'll have power till then. It's coming up quick, but better to have a little power still than have no power beginning tomorrow. So she went along with this because she was pressured into it. She was a smart enough political cat to understand that it was going to end very badly for them. You can't do what they've done and not suffer the consequences of a very angry electorate. You can't do what they've done and not have basically a sweep by Republicans and Donald Trump in 2020 baked into the cake. Because this was not just partisan, it was highly partisan. You had two Democrat Congress people defect and vote no. One of them voted no on one of the articles of impeachment. And who was it? Tulsi Gabbard abstained from voting. So that whole notion of bipartisanship where there will be so much evidence, comrades, that even the other side will come to us and say, yes, we must vote Orange Man out. But my issue is with all the celebratory tomfoolery by those who purport to be conscientiously observing the politics of America. They are far too clean and righteous souls to dirty themselves with politics or be concerned as to what is happening in the political sphere. But for some reason, unexplained thus far, they're dancing and whooping and hollering, yay, they impeached him. Well, first of all, no, they didn't impeach him. The House voted on two articles of impeachment, and they passed. This thing is DOA in the Senate. There's no way around it. Because if somehow, the dirty, rotten scoundrels of the swamp manage to get the majority they need in order to vote Trump out of office in the Senate, you would undeniably, instantly, overnight, have a revolution in America. Because there would be, 63 million disenfranchised people who voted for this administration, who voted for this president, who see that this is the railroad job that it is. It's undeniable at this point. If you have any sort of ethics, if you have any sort of conscience, if you have any sort of integrity, you will look at the body of so-called evidence that they've amassed, and you will conclude that it's all hearsay. There is no impeachable crime here. And it's not for lack of looking, and it's not for lack of trying to find one, and it's not for lack of stretching the truth, and it's not for lack of holding back exculpatory evidence that would have made this clown show a lot shorter. So, yes, to all the pontificators, to all the brothers and sisters out there who have taken to demagoguing as a side gig, if you were opposed to Donald Trump based on conscientious or your conscience or whatever you tell yourself at night, but are now celebrating the fact that they passed two articles of impeachment in the House, you're a hypocrite. It's not about being holier than thou. It's not about your conscience. You just hate the man. Say it. You just hate the man. And you know what? If you have that much hate in your heart where you will look at someone who is demonstrably innocent and say, away with him, he deserves it nonetheless, then I'm going to need a flashlight to find Jesus in you, kid. That's just the way it works. I'm not going to sugarcoat this because I'm sick and tired of it. I'm getting so many messages. How can you vote for such a foul soul? Okay, let me break this down for the last time. Perhaps not the last time, because you know what? I don't care. Nobody's paying me to do this program. I don't have any sponsors. I'm here on a Thursday morning where it's cold as the Antarctic in Wisconsin, talking to you because I like interacting with you. I like the camaraderie. I like the fellowship. But because I have no sponsors, because I don't get paid to do this, because I don't ask you for gifts, donations, PayPal, or what's the other one? So many ways to fleece people nowadays. Patreon, that's the one. Because I've never asked you for anything, financially speaking, other than prayer. I can tell you the truth. Even though some of you might turn it off and never listen to me again, so be it. You still would have learned the truth. The elections in 2016, just like the elections in 2020, are not about voting for an angel or voting for a devil. The elections were and will be in the forthcoming elections about voting for a flawed human being who has good intentions, who defends the sanctity of life, who's done okay as far as, riding the ship of the economy and everything else. Flawed. I'm not saying he's an angel. I'm not saying he's perfect. But if you look at the alternative, I'm sorry. I don't know how you justify it being a believer. Again, I know. Are you a one-issue voter? Yes, when it comes to life, kind of am. So you're not voting between an angel and a devil. You're voting between a flawed human being and a devil. Because anyone that praises Planned Parenthood, anyone that praises the idea of post-birth abortion, anyone that praises the idea of churches being shut down because they're offensive to the transgender community and the homosexual community at large, yes, is a devil. Yes, that person is antithetical to freedom and Christian belief. I'm sorry you don't see it that way, but do a little research for yourself. Stop eating the trash that they're spoon-feeding you every day. And look at the content. Look at what has been accomplished. Look at what has been done. Look at the policies that have been put in place. Because when these people say they're for post-birth abortion, you know that in their heart of hearts they're willing to go far beyond that. They're willing to absolutely annihilate any semblance of human decency if their starting off point is, hey, sure, we can kill a baby after it's born as long as we make it comfortable while doing it. So, I don't want to get political because this is not about politics, but man, if we don't get off the sidelines, if we don't acknowledge the fact that we have a dog in this fight, if we don't stand and say, all right, this is column A and this is column B. I'm not voting for perfect because only Jesus was and he's not on the ticket. So the next best thing for me to do is vote for the person who's less likely to throw me or my kids in prison for believing in Jesus, is to vote for the person who is less likely to ban the Bible because it offends people with mental illnesses that think they're men when they're women or think they're women when they're men. The next best thing for me to do is vote for the person who is less likely to make the murder of the innocent a wholesale business instantly. You're not voting angel or devil. You're voting flawed human being and devil. And you know what? Even with a flawed human being, I'll take it over the devil himself. That's where we are. Make no mistake about it. These people will not stop. Because now, it's going to get shut down in the Senate and that'll be that. You think so? Look, if by some miracle, and it would be a miracle, the House is retained by the Democrat Party in 2020, they will try impeachment over and over and over and over again, hoping that something sticks. Now, I know.
Well, they have a difference of opinion, and because they differ politically,
no, but that's not what it should be. I'm sorry, impeachment shouldn't be a political issue. Impeachment should be the punishment for high crimes or misdemeanors, which have not been committed by this president, which ostensibly can be deemed to have been committed by the previous administration and the previous president. But hey, nobody ever talked about impeachment then. Look, if you're a taxpaying citizen of this country, and I am, I don't get no monies back. I'm so sorry. I don't not put anything into the federal coffers and at the end of the year get a check. Because I've told you this before, I'm honest and open about it, I have a side income. I do something to support my family that is not tethered to ministry, because that's the way it needs to be for me, so I can tell you the truth, so I can speak to you openly, so that I don't have to wonder who's not going to support the ministry this month, and am I going to be able to pay myself from the ministry if I say this or that. I do have a side business. It is doing decent. It is doing fairly well. And so guess what? The tax man came a call in and I had to pay, because you give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So yes, I am a tax-paying citizen of these United States. And you know what? I did not send my representative to Congress to try and impeach a president who's presiding over a booming economy, who has made certain choices as far as legislation, as far as laws, as far as support, as far as judges he's appointed, that further the cause of morality and decency. I didn't send them there to try to ankle bite the president for 2 years or 4 years or 6 years or 8 years. I sent them there, and I pay my taxes to pay their salaries in order to represent the people's will. So this is going to be very ugly for the Democrat Party come 2020. I ran across, it's the New York Post. Their front cover this morning says as follows. It has a picture of Nancy Pelosi because she was dressed in black. You know, it's a somber occasion, even though they had party poppers and champagne after the impeachment vote, even though everybody was taking selfies and high-fiving, not realizing what they'd just done to their own party and themselves. But yesterday, Nancy was dressed in black. And the front page of the New Yorker says as follows. President Trump impeached. Swamp Mistress Pelosi dresses in black for historic vote. And in big bold letters, it's your funeral. I'm going to get into this a little bit because it was written by Michael Godwin, or Goodwin. And he makes some very interesting points, points that I've already made to you. Look, a lot of the freshman Democrats in the House were told in no uncertain terms that if they didn't vote for the impeachment, they were going to get primaried by their own party come 2020. So it was either, you know, death by hanging or death by cyanide pill, basically. Those were their two choices. Do I kill my political career voting for impeachment? Or do I kill my political career voting against it and getting primaried by my own party? Now, there was one gentleman that was so distraught and disgusted by the idea of impeaching a president on absolutely no evidence and along partisan lines that he switched parties. So the Republicans gained a congressional seat already, and not an individual has voted in the 2020 election. So it's going to be brutal. And this is what I think is going to – has the potential, has the possibility to make these people snap. Because right now they're celebrating, not realizing Trump's still going to be president. Nobody's kicking the man out of office, because if that happens – then it's all bets off, kids. But see, when you are a low information individual who spends more time primping in front of a mirror because you got a party to get to than understanding the geopolitical issues of your nation, headlines matter to you. So they don't understand that when they say the House passed two articles of impeachment, it doesn't mean Trump got impeached. It means it moved past the House and now it's going to go into the Senate, where the Republicans have a majority, where they will actually need some sort of evidence. evidence in order to remove a duly elected president from office. I'm just waiting for the next few days when some of these mental midgets start going on about, why isn't he out yet? Why isn't a moving truck in front of the White House and kicking Trump out? He's been impeached. Because that's, dare I say, the IQ level of a good portion of the base of the Democrat Party. To them, feelings matter more than facts. To them, how they feel about something matters more than whether it's true or not. And Trump committed the unpardonable sin to them. He made fun of Greta Thunberg. You know what? I would too. I have. That kid needs to go home, go back to school, and stop being used as a pawn to encourage other young people to speak up for the planet and speak up for the environment. That little kid, that little girl's talking about putting politicians against walls. So don't you tell me she's off limits. When you're talking about, in order to save the planet, we're going to have to kill a few million people, then I'm sorry, you're not off limits anymore. Your mouth said something stupid. You need to be called on it. And this is the game the other side plays. Whenever they have no facts on their side, whenever they have nothing to substantiate their arguments with, they go to feelings. You hurt my feelings. You say it so mean. Just, you know what? If words hurt you to that extent, maybe you shouldn't be in office. If words hurt you to that extent, maybe you shouldn't be a public figure. If words hurt you to that extent, I'm highly skeptical that you can be a functioning member of society. Students. Next week, you will find me in the fetal position sucking my thumb. And these people are supposed to graduate college in a couple years, get jobs, and be productive members of society. Really? What, they're going to snap the first time their boss tells them to do something and they don't want to do it? They're going to snap the first time somebody criticizes their work ethic or criticizes the way they did something? Just going to fetal position, thumb and mouth. How many times will that happen before, hey, you know, we're going to have to let you go because you're insane? I'm trying to keep balanced here because when I'm talking about the future. Look, it's going to get uglier no matter what. But one way it's going to get uglier a lot faster. The other way, we might yet have a few years to do work, to be about the Father's business. But I don't subscribe to the idea that as believers we're supposed to be disengaged from what's going on in our own nation. If it were supposed to be so, then Jesus would have said, hey, if Caesar comes to collect, ignore it. It says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. It means participate in the culture around you because that's the only way you're going to affect it. Participate in the decision-making process of who will rule over you. Participate in the decision-making progress of whom is given power from among you. Because the way some of these Congress people are talking and the way some of them are acting, they shouldn't be anywhere near power ever. Could you imagine if the Democrat Party held the Senate majority as well as the House majority? Can you imagine what a circus that would be? This guy would have been impeached the first week in office. You've had Congress people say he should be impeached because he tweeted that it's not nice not to stand for the flag. This is the political discourse we've come to. And the reason this has been allowed to fester for so long, the reason this has been allowed to go on for so long, is because the media, by and large, is in the bag for the Democrat Party. It's undeniable. I'm sorry if you don't believe it. Open your eyes and look around. No matter what these people do, the media covers for them. They're beside themselves. They cannot understand how, even though the big orange man is being impeached, his poll numbers are still high. They can't understand how, even though Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler said Trump did naughty things and he deserves to go to prison forever, his popularity is spiking. Because the one glaring mistake that they've made is that they've underestimated the average citizen's ability to sniff out baloney. They've underestimated the average citizen's ability to have that innate, inborn barometer of right and wrong. Because like I said at the beginning, unless you're one of these demagoguing pontificators who, I mean, the man can do nothing right in your eyes, you've got to admit, this isn't fair by a long shot. There was no due process in this thing. There were no witnesses allowed by the other side. You had man-hating, God-hating, democracy-hating, capitalism-hating professors spew on and on about how he deserves to go because he's ruining everything. These are, by the way, the same people who thought that Barack Hussein Obama was the best president of their lifetime. So the average citizen sees through it. Look, when you're partisan, it shows. When you're partisan, it comes out because you can't contain your hatred. You see, I think Nancy Pelosi dislikes Donald Trump, but I don't believe she hates him. I think she's doing what she's doing because she's a political animal, and that's what political animals do. Now, on the other hand, you look at Gerald Nader, or Nadler, the man who wears his pants up to his breasts, and you can tell that Jerry Nadler hates Donald Trump. That man would warm his hands over the burning body of Donald Trump while smiling. And the same can be said of Adam Schiff. For some reason, Adam Schiff loathes Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi, not so much. But again, it's not about whether you like somebody or not. It's not about whether you think his tweets are mean or not. It's about whether they've committed an impeachable offense. It's about whether they've committed a crime that can be defined as a high crime or a misdemeanor. And he hasn't. I'm sorry, no rational human being can look at the circus and say, yep, they have proven their case. The man needs to go, and he needs to go now. Anyway, I was going to get into Donald Trump's letter to Nancy Pelosi. It was written last week, December 17th, and this was before the impeachment vote. And look, it's a good letter. It highlights the fact that there's one party that's still concerned about the people of this country. And there's another party that is solely concerned about power and how much power they can leech away from the people of this country. If we have time, we're going to get into a little bit of it. It's a six-page letter. So it's not as though anything was held back, if you will. And look, when you hear only one side of an issue, when you hear only one side of an argument, you may tend to lean towards that side. But when you hear both sides, and when you begin to realize that there's more to this than just, he did it, he did it. Can anyone prove it? No, but he did it. Well, I'm not going to take your word for it, because every person in question, every person in this situation contradicts you. The president of the Ukraine said there was no pressure, there was no quid pro quo. In his frank manner, Donald Trump said, hey, I hear there's corruption in your neck of the woods. Can you look into this, please? Now, the fact that Joe Biden got caught up in the corruption, or his son Hunter, that doesn't make Trump wrong for asking about the corruption. Hunter Biden shouldn't have been corrupt. He shouldn't have used his daddy's name as leverage to get 80-some-odd thousand dollars a month as salary. And I don't think this whole thing has been exposed yet, because there are rumors from some of my sources in Romania that Hunter Biden went and took a trip to Romania too. And there were certain companies that were courting him there as well. Because, see, we know how to work this sort of thing in Eastern Europe. It's always been done this way. Politics and politicking, business and politics go hand in hand. And the only question is, are you backing the right horse? Because if you give money to one guy and your guy happens to lose, the other guy's going to cut you off at the knees. But if you give money to the guy that wins, then every government contract is yours. And even though the pencils that you're supposed to be providing for the school systems may cost you a penny, you were granted a contract where you were getting $17 per pencil. That's the way the grift works. This is why, after allocating some $350-odd million to a publishing company to print the Common Core student books for public schools, Barack Obama got a publishing contract by the self-same company for $65 million. Do you know how it works, man? You wash my hands, I wash your hands, we wash each other's hands. Everybody is clean. The only problem was that Joe Biden, being a frail mind and a bit aged, came back to the United States and boasted about getting a prosecutor fired that was looking into his son's connections with this company, Burisma, in the Ukraine, because it was getting a little hot. And that's why they were paying Hunter Biden, by the way. I guarantee you, at some point, somebody from Burisma picked up a phone and called Hunter Biden. And they said, hello, is this Mr. Biden? Is the Hunter Biden? Yes. Okay, we must talk a little bit, please.
Yes, yes. Please put down the crack pipe, yes. Okay, okay. We pay you lots of monies for doing nothing, but, you know, we need your help right now.
What's going on?
Well, there is this prosecutor that is bothering us. He say he criminal charges. He say he put us in prison. Okay, please call your father. Please, can you please call your father and see what he can do about this? Thank you, Mr. Biden. You are an asset to the Burisma Corporation. Thank you for doing everything you are to grow the Burisma brand. Now you may return to your crack pipe. And Hunter Biden picks up the phone and calls Dad. Hey, Dad, I need a favor. There's a prosecutor, and he needs to go. And so Joe picks up a phone and calls the Ukrainian government. And he says, I need you to get rid of this guy. He's bugging some people I know. And at first, the Ukrainian government was reticent. Because even in a corrupt cesspool like the Ukrainian government, you can't make it too obvious, or the peasants will rebel. You can't make your corruption so obvious that it flies in the face of logic and reason. And so, the Ukrainians pushed back a little bit. They go, Mr. Joe, we know you are the vice president of the Hussein. We respect you very much, but we cannot do this. It's very public investigation. It's very corruption. We must do something, okay? We work it out, no? If you don't fire the guy, you don't get the $1 billion. Period. You got 6 hours. And to quote former Vice President Joe Biden, and by golly, you know what? He was fired. The end. The man bragged about it. It's on tape. You can still find it on the YouTubes. He bragged about getting a prosecutor fired and threatening to withhold $1 billion in aid if he wasn't fired. The selfsame prosecutor that was looking into the corruption of Burisma and the connections that Burisma had to one Hunter Biden, former crack addict. So, remember a while back we talked about the other side accusing you of exactly what they're doing? It's projection. It's projection. But, and somebody said something, and I tend to believe it just because it's coming out how much of a cesspool and a swamp Washington is. But someone said if senators could vote in secret, there would be at least 30 that would vote to impeach Trump. Well, to that I say, thankfully, they can't vote in secret. And also, I tend to believe it because a lot of them have their fingers in a lot of pies. Hunter Biden's sweetheart deal with Burisma wasn't unique by any means. The only problem is that Joe blurted out something he ought not to have. He gave us a peek behind the curtain. As someone once said in a different context, he showed us how the sausage is made. You never show somebody how the sausage is made. See, Joe Biden was just dumb. He opened his mouth and bragged about something that should have been kept hush-hush. And this is why we're here. But he's not the only one. And it's not just Democrats. Because if you think people get into government and public service out of selflessness, contact me privately. I have some beachfront to sell you in Arizona. Very cheap, very cheap. People don't do it for those reasons anymore. It's intellectually inferior people who see that they will not be able to succeed in any other area of life that tend to gravitate towards politics. And even though they might be intellectually inferior, if they find a handful of people that are dumber than them, they'll keep them in the gravy for the next 30, 40 years with a nice government pension to boot, healthcare plan, mansion, oh my. See, it's very rare that we see a George Washington or an Abraham Lincoln or even a Ronald Reagan. And we've been telling ourselves that we're never going to see such individuals again, that when someone of a similar cut, a similar ilk, a similar mindset came on the scene, we rejected him wholesale. Look, again, I have to say it because it has to be said. If you think Hillary Clinton would have done a better job, if you think Hillary Clinton would have protected the sanctity of life more, if you think Hillary Clinton would have discussed the persecution of Christians in China and the Middle East more thoroughly than this administration, then allow me to disagree. I'll just be nice. See, I can be nice. Now, let's get into this article. We're not going to get into the letter, even though it's a good letter. I don't want to just buzz through it because there's a lot of content there. It's meaty. Because even though the man was on the eve of being impeached, his concern was about how it would harm the country, how it would be detrimental to the people, how nothing is getting done in Congress because of this nonsense. But yeah, the article by Michael Goodwin is I think more relevant since the impeachment vote went through. And he said, there are two things you should never watch being made. Government budgets, and now we can add impeachment to the list of stomach-turning sights to avoid. The arcane rules, phony cordiality, and debates over the second sentence in paragraph G of point 6 were bad enough. But the nausea meter hit the roof when Nancy Pelosi took the microphone. Wearing a funeral black dress, she stood next to a cardboard American flag and recited the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, this is the same Nancy Pelosi who has been quoted as saying, "We should let them all in. Even MS-13 members who cut off girls' heads and wear them as trinkets. They have a spark of divinity. How dare you call them an animal?" So this is the party that wants open borders. This is the party that wants to do away with the idea of a sovereign nation. And the height of hypocrisy itself. Nancy stood next to a cardboard American flag and recited the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm surprised she didn't bring a Bible along to put one hand on the Bible, too. Again, you can't shame these people. These people have no shame. These people don't care. They will say one thing today, another tomorrow, and another the day after, perfectly contradicting themselves each time, and not bat an eye. I would have counted her more honest if she had pledged her allegiance to a Democratic donkey. As the leader of a party that has marinated its mind in unadulterated hatred of President Trump, Pelosi bears unique responsibility for this calamity. She could have stopped it. Agreed. Indeed, for months she did. Soon after Democrats took the House in last year's midterms, the asinine calls for impeachment that began immediately following Donald Trump's 2016 election reached a level she could not ignore. Publicly and privately, Pelosi repeatedly and wisely said no, arguing it would tear America apart unless there was a bipartisan consensus. There was bipartisan consensus, just not pro-impeachment. Ha 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 ha. Impeachment is so divisive to this country, or shall we say divisive, that unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, I don't think we should go down that path, she told the Washington Post in March. The smart bet was that she expected special counsel Robert Mueller to deliver the goods on collusion that would push the public and members of the GOP into the impeachment camp. Then she would be all in. But Mueller came up empty, and at first blush, it seemed his finding of no collusion in April would be the end of it. The cloud over Donald Trump was lifted, and surely Washington would get back to a normal level of partisanship. It was not to be. With the end of Mueller only temporarily quieting the Dems' clamor, by about like 13 minutes. By early June, the pressure was growing again, with more than 50 of Pelosi's members openly agitating for impeachment and many others in silent agreement. Now, I'm going to pause here and say the following. About 49 of the 50 of Pelosi's members openly agitating for impeachment aren't old enough to remember what happened during the Clinton impeachment to the Republicans. And lest we, compare apples and oranges, William Jefferson Clinton was guilty. He was found guilty. And still, he wasn't impeached in the Senate. Donald Trump did nothing wrong. But 50 of Pelosi's members openly agitated for impeachment. And the only thing Nancy's going to be able to do when this thing blows up in their face like an Acme bomb on Wile E. Coyote is to say, I told you so. But by then it won't matter. Hopefully they'll be in the minority for the next 50 years. Because these people have gone insane. They're certifiable. And the 50 members openly agitating for impeachment want to do away with the rule of law altogether. So the article continues and it says they didn't have honest cause, just raw hatred. Now, why? Because if you hear some of the pontificators on our side, they will tell you that Trump's not really conservative, and he's not really a Republican, and he's not really doing anything for Christians, and he's not doing anything against abortion. Then they should love him. They should love him. The Democrat Party should love Donald Trump if you were really what the demagogues and pontificators are, painting him out to be. Think on that. If he's as bad as the self-righteous of today are saying he is, if he is the devil in an orange wig, why does the Democrat Party hate him so? They would be applauding him. They would be reveling in his presence because it's the devil they serve after all. Did you ever think that through? Now that we've happened upon it, let's dissect it a little bit. if he's such a vile human being, if everything he does is antithetical to morality and goodness and godliness and Christianity, why is he so hated by the Democrat Party? Why would they be willing to slaughter their firstborns just to see him out of office? Good question, isn't it? I know, I come up with those once in a while. Let's continue with the article. Still, the speaker resisted. I don't think there's anything more divisive we can do than to impeach a president of the United States. And so you have to handle it with great care, Pelosi told CNN on June 16th. It has to be about the truth and the facts to take you to whatever decision has to be there. It should by no means be done politically. Behind the scenes, the intra-party civil war raged, with the most virulent Trump haters twisting the arms of those who merely disliked him. The latter group included many of the 31 freshman Dems elected in 2018 in districts Trump had carried in 2016. And as the kids like to say, here, my dears, is the rub. The 31 most vocal anti-Trump individuals come from districts that he won in 2016. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. He won in 2016 being an unproven, unknowable individual who'd gotten into politics a year earlier. Now he has a track record to run on. Now he has the lowest unemployment in history to run on. Now he has the highest stock market ever to run on. Now he has his promise kept regarding Planned Parenthood to run on. So if he won these people's districts in 2016, he's going to absolutely dominate their districts in 2020. But see, hate makes you myopic, doesn't it? Hate doesn't let you see what's going to happen tomorrow. It's that instant gratification and satisfaction that you got your way today. It is worth noting there is more than a little irony in their victory, which took place during the height of the Russia scare. Dems, with the help of a biased media, pointed repeatedly to anonymous leaks suggesting Mueller would reveal Trump to be a traitor, making it the greatest scandal in national history. So what he's saying, and I believe it to be true, is that 2016 went the way of the Democrats, at least in the House, because there was this dark cloud of what if Mueller does find treason and there's a Republican House and a Republican Senate and they won't do anything about it. That cloud is no longer hanging over this administration. As the article says, it all turned out to be a bogus narrative. As Attorney General Bill Barr calls it, but the Trump traitor narrative was very helpful to Dem candidates at the time. The midterms might have turned out differently had Mueller finished earlier or never been appointed. Agreed. Now, the question that needs to be asked, and it hasn't been asked, and I hope someone asks it, is when did Mr. Mueller conclude that there was no collusion, that there was no obstruction? Because if he concluded it, you know, a year, 6 months before the 2018 election, and knowing the outcome of it, they sat on it for another 6 months or a year just to get through the 20, 18 elections, then would that not by definition be trying to meddle in the elections of these United States? Just a question. But yes, it's Donald Trump that tried to meddle because he asked the Ukrainian president, could you look into the corruption in your country, please? Joe Biden isn't the Democrat contender. At this point, he's not even the front runner. I think if Joe Biden makes any more gaffes, they're just going to take him to a retirement home. Or, you know, what they say about horses with bad legs. We took him out and retired him. Because right now, Joe Biden's a liability to the Democrat Party. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. He may say something really stupid or, you know, incriminate himself for quid pro quoing the Ukrainians. So they're not hedging all their bets on Joe. The only problem they have is that there's nobody else. Butt gig? Really? Look, Alfred E. Newman, as Donald Trump likes to call him, and that was just brilliant branding, doesn't have a shot. The only thing you have to do for, I don't know, 60% of this country is just run an ad showing Mr. Buttigieg mouth-kissing the other Mr. Buttigieg and saying, do you want this to be representative of you for 4 years? Most people, decent people with families and whatnot, probably not. Because although they make a lot of noise, what we need to remember is that they're only 2% of the population. So, with that, I thank you all for joining us. I hope this wasn't too political, but it had to be said. May God bless you. May God keep you. Keep us in your prayers. And right now, as always, Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours.
Well, I love what McConnell said. You know, the people rushing to impeach Trump now want to sit on these articles and play a game with them. And, it's just crazy. And I agree with Mike. I agree with everything he said today. It's been a witch hunt from day one against Trump. Not only the cry to impeach him right after the 2016 election, but really looking 3 years, he hasn't had a break from attacks against from him through the Democratic Party. And I just ask you all to pray for him and his family and, pray for God to continue to surround him with protection. We literally have an onslaught against the values of faith in America. Only 15% of Democrats even lean towards anything towards pro-life. 85 are adamantly pro-abortion, and many of them are pro-infanticide. Most of them are for gay marriage in the Democratic Party. Many of them are for illegal immigration and a host of other things. Guarantee if this party was in full control of our government, there'd be a cry from the church that would be so loud, hopefully louder than it is now, saying, this is crazy to let these people in power and rule over us. And it is truly what the scripture says, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. I guarantee you, if Clinton would have got elected in 2016, there would have been a lot of mourning, and it would have been disaster for America. I urge anyone who even leans towards the Democratic Party to get out, pull out, and have nothing to do with that party of death and ungodly, literally ungodly values. And am I advocating Republican Party? They're a lot more pro-family and pro-faith than the Democratic Party. Yeah, I would say I am 100% advocating get out of the Democratic Party. It's a party of Sodom and Gomorrah-like thinking. And the Republican Party is probably the only party you even remotely hear about today, pro-family and pro-life values and other things. And, you know, pray for the America before it literally does enter into a civil war. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.